Hello and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Are you a mom who oversees your household yet has difficulty dealing with finances? Well, I want you to meet Kimberly Palmer, author of the new book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, a book revealing strategies for mothers to help build wealth for themselves and their families. Kimberly was senior money editor at U.S. News & World Report for 9 years and has written The Economy of You, Discover Your Inner Entrepreneur and Recession-Proof Your Life, which is a great title of a book. Welcome, Kimberly, to America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you for having me.
So the other book is about entrepreneurship and how to beat something like the recession. Tell me why you wrote this book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom.
Well, I am a mom and I write about money, and I started noticing that so much of the money advice aimed at moms was really limited. It felt like it was so much about coupons and saving at the grocery store. And of course, building wealth is about so much more than that. And moms really are in charge of so much when it comes to managing the household finances and saving, investing for, you know, future college or their own retirement. So I wanted to write a book that kind of stepped back and look at that big picture to give moms useful advice and tips. So when we're trying to make all these decisions, we have a little guidance.
In your community, you obviously have friends and neighbors who are in similar circumstances. Do you find that they're somewhat reticent to discuss the financial aspect of their lives? I mean, not giving in, you know, the deepest information,
right,
but to go into that realm, for example.
You know, what I actually find is that even though in public it can still feel a little awkward or embarrassing, so you're not going to see many, you know, Facebook posts about how do I invest my money or, you know, feeling bad about us spending decision. But once you talk to moms one-on-one, it all comes out. And we actually really enjoy and I think appreciate the support of other moms. You know, when I'm out with other moms now, one of my friends just recently asked me, you know, I really need to finally set up write a will and take out life insurance and figure out all this stuff. I think when we're one-on-one, we like to talk about this stuff. It's just not something necessarily we do out in public.
Absolutely. And you know, as you're speaking, Kimberly, I'm thinking about these women who've formed investment clubs.
Yes.
That they decide, let's do this together and figure out where we should be putting our money as a group. Are you thinking of that or have you done it?
Yeah, I love investment clubs. And actually, this is coming up all the time as now I'm talking to more moms and talking about my book. So yes, I think investment clubs, it's kind of like the money version of a book club. It's a way for moms to get together and talk about money and, you know, plan, think about what should we invest in, what makes sense. It's such a great way to connect and also have that support. And it also allows you to talk about other money topics too, like how do we, should I be prioritizing my retirement or saving for my daughter's college fund. So it opens up, it gives us a space to kind of talk about all those issues. So I am such a fan of investment clubs and I love hearing about how they work for people.
You write in your book that our culture celebrates penny pinching, but it keeps moms focused on small, short-term savings, like you mentioned before, the coupons, how do I save a few dollars here and there. So is one of your goals to have the big picture, the long-term investment down the road in 5, 10, 20 years?
Yes, that is exactly my big goal. Because I mean, if we spend an hour or two on the weekend looking for coupons and, you know, finding codes to get a discount, there's nothing wrong with that. I do that myself. I'm a fan of that. But if we shift some of that time away from that couponing and think bigger, so instead of spending time doing that, spend time rejiggling, reviewing your retirement account and making sure that it's diversified in the way you want it to be. Or make sure you are following up with your health insurance company when they mistakenly reject a claim, or filing the paperwork for flex spending plans that you have access to through work. These are some bigger things we can do that actually end up saving, they can end up saving us hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year, so much more than, you know, a coupon code. So yes, I'm really urging people, and so, you know, something I'm trying to do myself too, is to think bigger, because we can make decisions that really end up building wealth for our family and making sure we have that financial security. And it's such a powerful thing to do, not just for ourselves, but also for our kids.
You know, it's so true what you're saying, and this applies to everybody because I myself am obsessed with CVS coupons. You know, they that long roll that comes out and you get a dollar off here, a $5 there, and I always lose them. And because it's paper, sometimes it's sent to your card, but oftentimes I lose them. And we're wasting time on the small stuff, right? And so
yes.
Your point is very well taken for everybody.
Yeah, I'm so glad that it resonates because I feel like it's almost distracting. Like we think we're doing good things for our money when it's almost like just a little distraction on the side. And there's these bigger things, like you're saying, that, you know, can actually end up saving us even more money.
I'm speaking with Kimberly Palmer, author of the new book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom. And this book really can be applied, as I said, to anybody and everybody. It's not just for moms. How did you change, Kimberly, as you wrote and researched the book? What happened to you?
I changed so much, and it's embarrassing now to admit some of the things I was doing wrong. So the biggest thing, and actually this is a pretty common mistake that moms make, if you have a male partner, if you have a husband, a lot of us hand over control of the finances to the husband, and he ends up being the one that is managing the investment decisions and managing all those financial accounts. And I am embarrassed to admit now, I did this myself. I mean, my husband is one of those people that loves managing money. He loves Excel spreadsheets. So I said, okay, you know, that's fine. He can take that over. It gives me more time for other things. But that is such a mistake, because the fact is, at some point in our lives, there's a 90% chance that we as women will be the ones managing our finances on our own. A lot of that is just because we outlive men, and so, or we tend to anyway. So it really is, I think, important for us to make sure we're always aware of and managing our own financial accounts, because we don't want to, you know, wake up one day and suddenly have to figure all this out on our own when we haven't had experience with that. So it's so important, I think, for moms to really embrace that role, know where our money is, and manage it.
And it's not like you weren't in the business. You were senior money editor at U.S. News and World Report. You have tremendous information and background in this field.
Yes, I have no excuse. I mean, it's really funny. And I wanted to set that example for my daughter too. I have a daughter and a son, and you know, I wanted to make sure they saw mom can do this just as well as dad, and you know, set that example. So I think it's also about being a role model.
You know, in a previous generation, it was very common for women not to even know how to write a check. Not that we even write checks any longer, but that was very, very common. And I hate to bring up the D word, but, you know, 50% of us get divorced.
Yes.
And it's not even about predeceasing anybody. It's just some people split up and they're lost. And this is a very important point it's not a pleasant point, but it's an important point to make.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, there's so many factors, and they don't even have to be the most, you know, tragic ones. Also, just things like if your partner gets ill suddenly, or they're away, they're traveling, you know, there's so many reasons that women have to be the ones making these decisions. And so, I mean, yes, I think that's why it's so smart to make sure you're involved all along and making these decisions. And, you know, women actually also have an advantage with some, there's plenty of research out there that shows we are really good at making investment choices. And we tend to make more conservative choices, take fewer risks. And so, I mean, our opinion and our choices when it comes to investments are really valuable, and we can really help our family in that way.
So what outstanding takeaways would you like people to digest after they read this book?
The number one thing is just really to embrace our role as I think of it as the chief financial officer of our families, not just paying bills, not just making those spending choices at the grocery store, but the bigger things that we're talking about. So embracing that role, spending time on it, you know, it is one more thing to add to our plate, but I really consider these money decisions as important as taking our kids to the pediatrician. I mean, it really affects the future of our families. So that's the biggest thing. And then secondly, I feel so passionately about helping our kids learn this too. So just making sure we're involving them and letting them see how we're managing money. One of the most disturbing findings to me is that young girls, even as young as 8, are already saying that they don't feel as good at managing money as boys who are 8. And so, you know, let's change that. Let's make sure we're setting a good example for our kids. So that's the other big one.
Well, in the remaining minute we have left, Kimberly, how can we cut back really quickly and easily? Some very quick ones.
Cut back on our spending?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the biggest thing to know is that most of our money, two-thirds of it, is going to housing, transportation, and food. And so one of the biggest things, and one of my personal favorites, is just cooking at home or teaching our kids how to do that, starting that family tradition and habit. We actually just calculated. So our Friday night tradition is pizza and a movie. We used to order it in. We just started making it instead. And we realized it's going to save us $1,200 a year.
Wow.
So that's a big one.
That is a big one. I'm going to add something to that. I have a little game called Make Do Friday. And Make Do Friday means you cannot go outside and buy anything. You must use what's in the pantry, the freezer, or the refrigerator to make a meal. And that becomes fun.
I love it. It's perfect.
I mean, we have to infuse fun into all of this as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it sticks.
Hey, Kimberly Palmer, thank you so much for joining us on America Weekend. The new book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, available now.
Thank you, Valerie.
I'm Valerie Smaldone. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, how well do you concentrate, or do you catch your mind wandering or find yourself having to read the same passage over and over? Well, concentration is a skill, and it's better if you work with your brain than against it. Here's the science of it. The brain is not wired to continually concentrate. In fact, your concentration peaks and valleys about every 11 to 12 minutes. Hey, now you know why television shows place a commercial break about 11 to 12 minutes. What's the cheap psych trick? Work with your brain, not against it. Now you know that your brain is wired to concentrate in shorter intervals. So take a break every 15 minutes. When you do, you give your concentration ability time to reset. Be sure to remember this when you're helping your kid with their homework. So do you have a question or a comment? Would love to hear from you. Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Frank and Libby were enjoying a Caribbean cruise when Frank suddenly had a heart attack. The ship's medical crew performed emergency procedures, but Frank died. The ship charged Libby's Visa card for her husband's expensive emergency treatment. Since the couple is on Medicare, Libby submitted the credit card bill for reimbursement, but Medicare refused to pay. Why? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Doesn't Medicare have to pay for health services delivered to its beneficiaries? Well, normally, but Medicare is only required to pay for services rendered aboard a cruise ship within 6 hours of a U.S. port. And that's the final verdict.